Don, mate, come on, buddy. Come and bless us. We're looking forward to it.
Come on, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, give God a praise of glory, because he is worthy to be praised and worthy to be glorified. Amen? Amen. We serve a wonderful, wonderful God, and it's truly a privilege and an honor to stand before you all tonight. I just thank and praise God, giving him all glory and honor for my life, because he is my life. I thank God for the ministry of King's Fire International, which I am now a part of. Praise be to God for all of his wisdom and knowledge and everything. And to you, my brothers and sisters, and I love you all very much. And to all those who are on the webcam, welcome. I need you all to turn to the, let me just say a prayer. Father, I just thank you tonight, oh God, for this opportunity. God, I just ask you, dear God, to hide me behind the cross, oh God, that they may see all of you and none of me, that they may hear all of you, oh God, and none of me, oh God. Father, I just pray right now that you would use all my faculties, oh God, to bring forth your word. Let it come forth with power, dear God, conviction, whatever you want it to do, oh God. We just yield to you right now, oh Father. I pray it all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us turn to the book of Galatians. Amen? Could you turn that, whatever that echo is, down just a little bit? Galatians 2. Verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 20. Amen? All right. Say amen when you have it. If you got to say hold up, hold up. If I'm there, table of contents, whatever you need to get there. We all want to be on one accord. Amen? All right. Galatians 2, 20. 2 and 20. One verse. And I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Bible, so it's going to read a little bit different from what you probably have. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. In him, I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ the Messiah who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith, in, by adherence to, reliance on, and complete trust in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It says, not only did he love you, but he gave up himself for you. Amen? When you read the book of Galatians, I want you just to give you a little background and history, that understand that Galatians is a book for the Christians. This is your Declaration of Independence. Like America, we got our Declaration of Independence. When you read this book of Galatians, understand, Paul was talking to the church about their freedom in Jesus Christ. And what was happening at the time, there was Judaizers, false prophets, and all these people trying to drag them back into the goats and the bulls and all that other stuff. You have to have that in order to have Christ. But Paul was wanting them to identify that who we are in Christ. And that's what we have to understand, who we are in Christ. We can't allow people to drag us back into situations. You can't allow people to take you backwards out of the things that God has already released you from. Why? Because you are free in Christ. And as believers, that's what we have to understand, because of all the other things that are going on in the world. Sometimes it could be a family member, could be an old flame. It could be all types of things trying to drag you backwards to the place that God has already taken you up. All right? Jesus said in John 8:36, that therefore who the Son has made free, you shall be free indeed. You are free because of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? See, because Christ is a liberator, no matter what you have, what has you bound, Jesus was hung up for your hang-ups. Amen? And that's what we have to understand, that when Jesus got hung up, he got hung up for all the hang-ups that we got. Amen? Thank God for that. Christ is a liberator, okay? No matter what has have you bound, and he will set you free. But I want to talk about tonight, if I have to put a subject on something from this word that I got, what Paul was saying is that to the church, he was asking a question. I want to ask you the question too. Are you dead yet? That's the question. When it comes to you and the relationship with Christ, when it comes to you and the things of the church, think about this. Am I really dead? Because Paul said that I have been crucified. All right? That have and has is a perfect tense word, which means something in the past in something that was continually going on in your life. So if you have been crucified, that means at one time in your life, you took the nails and you nailed yourself. And it's a present thing that Paul said, I continually die each and every day. Each and every one of us have to look at our lives. What do I have to kill off that's not lined up with the word of God? What type of attitude do I have in my life that doesn't line up into this word? Because everything in Paul's life, you have to understand, it's because of the redemption of the cross. And a lot of times we don't look at the cross, but that's our place of freedom. That's our place of liberation. The redeeming act of Jesus Christ, which means that we are on the slave market of sin. All right? We are standing up there to the highest bidder. All right? It used to be the devil until Jesus showed up and said, now because of my blood, they belong to me. We have been redeemed. That means I've been brought back. I am no longer on the slave market of sin. And that's what changed Paul's life on that Damascus road, because he seen the resurrected Christ. Remember, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul seen the whole picture. He seen the whole package. And that's why he said, I have been crucified. I have to get to that point in my life where nothing lives in me except for Christ. It says in here, it says that in him I have shared his crucifixion. I have shared the pain. I have shared the heartache. I have shared the ridicule. I have shared the mocking. I've shared the betrayal of the disciples turning their back. That's what Jesus did for us. But are we willing to do the same thing? See, because a lot of us like to wear a cross, but we don't want to get on the cross. See, that's the thing. We got to get up on the cross. We have to crucify. Because Galatians 5:24 says, for those who are Christ have crucified their flesh with its passion and its desires. Just because you're born again, just because we're in the revival, and you filled with the Holy Ghost, those passions and desires you had before, those appetites you had before, guess what? They're still there. But he said that those who are, not those who are going to be, those who might be, it said those who are, you have to know who you are in Christ. So therefore, when these things rise up in your life, because that's what this revival is doing, it's stirring up things that you thought were gone. It's stirring up attitudes. It's stirring up desires. It's stirring up things in your life. But what you going to do about it? Are you going to be like Paul? Paul said, for I have been crucified. You got to take that hammer. Boom. Get that one hand. All right? Boom. You got to cross your feet over and boom. Stick a nail in that. But guess what? Now you got a free hand. What you going to do with that? Because this hand's tied up. Your feet are tied up. So you need help. That's why it's good to have a brother and sister of Christ to understand where you are. Not to beat you up. To understand that you struggle. So therefore they could say, they could be the ones that say, put that hand up there. I'll help you. I'll help you. Come here. Put that hand up there. Put that bad, nasty attitude you got before you drink that coffee. Go ahead. Put it up there. Because I want to get it. Why? Because I want to help you. Church, we have to understand that without a death and without a burial, guess what? There ain't going to be no resurrection. We cannot rise into the newness which Paul is talking about, because he said, it is no longer I that live. You have to understand the Apostle Paul was the greatest persecutor of the church. All right? He would come in here right now and drag us all out. But because of his relationship with Christ, his whole life was changed. Imagine Paul walking into church, people seeing him, walking to the places he used to go. And I don't know whether they was questioning Paul. I know they was questioning his authority. But at this point, I don't know what they were questioning Paul about. But I know that Paul said, it is no longer I that live. Can you say that in your life? Does your family see you? Can you say, it is no longer I who live, but Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, is living in me. And he says that the life that I now live in this body, I live by faith. I live by faith. Faith, he says here, by adherence to, by relying on, or complete trust in the Son of God. Are we adhering to everything that God is speaking to us through his word? Do you adhere to everything that you hear? Whether it's from Vaughn, whether it's from Steve, whether it's from me, whether it's from these other pastors. To adhere to means to be loyal to. We have to learn to be loyal to God. When you become dead, you become loyal. But see, you got to get out of the way. That's why I asked you, are you dead yet? Because it makes you think, am I loyal? Or does it take work all the time for me to come to these revivals? See, it ain't nothing for me because, see, I done gave it all up. I done told you my testimony about the drugs, about the women, about the alcohol, about all that stuff. But guess what? When I read this scripture, I understood that it's up to Donald to crucify all that stuff. See, sometimes we want the pastor to do it. You want everybody else to do it. No, it's up to you to do it. You got to be the man of God. You got to be the woman of God to examine your own life. See, it's always easy for us to examine everybody else's life. I always tell people all the time, it's easy to look out the windows of your house and judge everybody's life and judge everything that is going on. Why? Because you're looking at everybody else. But when you put that piece of silver behind the glass and the only person you can see is yourself, are you so judgmental when it comes to that? Are we so critical with everybody else? But how about when it comes to us? That's like song Michael Jackson sang that song, I'm talking to the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. See, I ain't asking you to change your ways. See, that's what Paul was trying to get across to the church. And that's what we have to understand. All right? That we have to be the ones that crucify this flesh. We have to be the ones that live out this life by faith, adherence to, being loyal to Christ, relying on him, complete trusted. Do we have complete trust in God? Complete trust. I mean, total trust with everything in your life. I mean, we always talk about we go to heaven. Complete trust. You can trust God to go to heaven, but you can't trust God to give you a husband or a wife. That's why we always dip it in Davin, because we can't wait, because we can't trust God. Can you trust God with your finances? See, Paul said, I'm completely dead because I had the law. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Paul spoke 13 different languages. Paul had it going on. They questioned Paul. He said, hey, wait a minute, hold up. He said, my mother was a Hebrew. My father was a Hebrew. Paul ran down his whole pedigree about everything else. He said, but I counted all rubbish to know Christ. I counted all rubbish. It ain't about my degrees. It ain't about how good I look. It's not about my political ties. It's not about all the people I know. It's about Christ. But we have to ask ourselves tonight, church, am I dead yet? Am I dead enough that the world can live through, that the world can see Christ through me? Do your neighbors see Christ through you? One thing, interesting things that, as I was studying, I have a Holman's Bible. It's a dictionary. And it talked about Christians. And I looked it up when Christians in Acts 11:26, when the Christians were they first called Christians in Antioch. All right? And Antioch was the first place that they called the Christians. But as I read on, it was saying because their activities, their behavior, and their speech reminded the world of Jesus Christ. When was the last time the activities in your life reminded somebody of Jesus Christ? Think about that. When's the last time all the activities that you got going on in your life that somebody stopped you and said, you know what? You acted just like Jesus. See, because that's a question we got to ask ourselves. Am I dead enough yet that Christ could live through me? Because we're the only thing he got. Jesus done did his job. He done came down, gave the gospel, got up on the cross, got back up. He already done did his job. Now it's up to us. But is our activities enough for people to say, there goes a Christian? Is your behavior, it talked about behavior, is your behavior enough for them to say, that's a Christian behavior? Or do we just come to church every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, and then our behavior is contrary to who we say we are? See, we just can't put on them labels and say that we're a Christian. We have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And then our speech, you know, the stuff that comes out of our mouth. You know, sometimes when somebody cuts you off, and I know you say, praise the Lord anyway, I'm going to pray for her, right? That speech, that's what I'm talking about, all right? That speech, when you have to stand in line too long or something, that speech, all right, when your kids are getting on your nerves or your husband or your wife, that speech, Am I dead enough yet that all these things that are operating in my life reflect Jesus Christ in my life? And let me push the envelope just a little bit further. If you were put in the courtroom right now, is there enough evidence in your life to convict you as a Christian? Are you dead enough yet that there's enough evidence in your life that they would convict you guilty of being a Christian? Think about it. Is there enough in my life? Have I laid down enough of my life? Have I laid down enough of my agendas? Have I laid down enough of the things? See, because Paul knew. Remember when Paul asked God to take that thorn from his side? And what was the answer that God gave him? He said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for all your needs. And a lot of times we don't understand about the cross because we think it's just the place that takes away our sin. Yeah, it is the place that takes away our sin. But God's grace, that enabling power that we can draw from. That's why he told Paul, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for all your need. God's grace, because of the cross, because of the love, the abundant love that he had for each and every one of us, it's enough. I don't care what you encounter, God's grace is enough for you. That is enough. But we have to learn to draw from that grace. We have to learn to pull on that grace. God don't get tired of you pulling on him because he has enough for each and every one of us. But see, we have to die. Because, see, we got so much stuff in us. We got so much church in us from the place before. We got so much religion in us from the place before. We got so much of this from our family, so much from school, so much from the people we hang out from, so much of this and so much of that, that we're still living out some of that stuff. But today we have to understand, am I dead enough? Am I dead yet? That's the thing that we have to understand. I have the enabling power, the grace of God, living in me through the Holy Spirit, that I can draw on that power anytime I want because I can adhere to, I can be loyal to him even when everything inside me wants me to be disloyal. Even when people are trying to talk me to go down the wrong path, I can remain loyal. Why? Because I live for him. It is no longer I who live, but I live for him. The life that I now live. Ask your neighbor, say, how you living? Ask him, how do you live in? The life that I now live. Because we all like Paul. We all had our Damascus Road. We all had our experience. But how do you live now, each and every day of your life? Every day when you wake up, when you're on your job, when you're in the mall, when you're in the bank. See, it's easy for me. That's Will. Will see me all the time in the bank. I come in there, I'm on fire. All you got to do is say one word, open the door about Jesus, and I step right on in. I ain't got to know you. All right? All I say, how you doing today? And you give me one of them crazy answers, I step right on in there. But I know somebody that can change that for you right now. Why? Because I'm living for him. It doesn't matter. You know? Because, see, when you're dead, this whole thing is about dying. Because, see, we always think that we're going to lose something in God. But Jesus said, unless you lose your life, you will not gain anything. See, we have to learn to lose our life. We have to learn to die to certain things. See, because when you're dead, it don't matter. All right? I've been a pastor 6-7 years. Been preaching every day for 6-7 years. I came here, guess what? I didn't preach. But did I get crazy about it? Did I act ill? Or when am I going to preach? No, you know why? Because I'm dead. Because it ain't about me. It ain't about me preaching. And it ain't about me being the big man on campus. Don had a church, this and that. No, it's about King's Fire and us being the best that we could be together. Because it's all going to work around. Amen? It's all going to work around. But you have to learn to stay in your place and do what you got to do. Because you're dead. That's what Paul said. You're dead. We got a living example right here. For all of you who don't know, Tatiana lost her mother Wednesday. And she's on that Jamaica trip. She lost her Monday. Mother, Wednesday we called her. It was about 5 o'clock. And she screamed crazy. And we just said, well, once you get it all calm down, call us back. They called back and said, listen, we're going to do whatever we can do to get her on the plane tomorrow. Me and my wife left, told her family everything that was going on. Within an hour from the time we called her, that Holy Spirit quickened her, and she said, I'm staying. Why? Because I'm dead. It's no longer I that live. I got to do what I got to do. This is an 18-year-old girl. We could take an example from her page because she took it from Paul's page. She took it from Paul's page. Sometimes we got to ask, am I dead yet? See, because she was already on a trip, and some people don't even want to get to go on a mission trip. Why? Because you ain't dead yet. You ain't dead yet. We make up all the excuses. God is not limited by finances. All you got to do is take the first step. All right? And then God will meet you wherever you're at. The sky's the limit with God. But you have to die. See, you have to die to your attitude. You have to die to your way of doing things. You have to even die to your way of thinking. Your past and everything else. So that I may live for Christ. Because that's what it's all about. Living for Christ. Like I said before, grace is that enabling power that brings comfort and victory. That's what the cross is all about. But see, we have to die because as people, before our lives before we came to Christ, there's so many things that's inside of you that are still compulsionary that you do because you did it for so long that you just do it. My thing was money, okay? I got to admit, it took me a while to come. Why? Because I was a drug dealer. I had everybody else's money. It didn't matter. I spend this, buy that, I want this, give me that, give me that, give me that. So now when you start working, you start doing the same thing. Why? Because that's what you always did. All right? But the end result is, where's my money? All right? Because I ain't doing that no more. All right? So there's a lot of things in your life that you have to understand that you could possibly do because that's what you do. And you do it because it's a part of you. But now that you're born again, you have to realize I can't do that no more. That thing has to die in my life. Amen? Because believers see themselves living in a state of dependence on Christ each and every day of your life. Amen? Even if the job don't go through, I ain't going to do something that I ain't supposed to do. Amen? I ain't going to do it. Because why? I trust him. I believe what he said, that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? We have to learn to stay on the path with Christ, to be crucified with him, living this life by faith each and every day. We live by faith and not by sight. Sometimes things don't look like they're going to work out. Sometimes things don't look like I'm going to get there, but this is a faith walk. Listen, I'm going to challenge you tonight. If you got to have tears in your eyes, keep moving. If you have to can't sleep at night, keep moving. Keep moving because, see, you're at the point of getting ready to give up, and that's when your breakthrough is going to come through. See, because if the enemy can turn you around, he knows. See, let me tell you something. The devil never attacks where you are. He always attacks where you're going. He knows where each and every one of you are going. And if he can keep you alive in one area in your life that keep you from moving into the promised land, he's going to do it. He's going to entice you every day with something that looks good. He's going to make you doubt the word of God. He's going to make you doubt your pastor. He's going to make you doubt your church. He's going to make you even doubt yourself that you was a Christian. But you have to have enough faith in that cross that Christ set me free. And that whatever is in my life, I am going to kill it off. I am going to be the one that takes over. For some of you, you are the first ones in your family to ever step out. The first one. In your family to ever step out. There are certain things that are probably in your bloodline. That's why you're getting attacked the way you're getting attacked. Because there were certain things in the bloodline of my family that I had to kill off. You know what I mean? There's certain things. Big adultery, fornication, spirit, all that stuff. But somebody got to step up to the plate. Somebody got to say that I'm going to live for Christ. Why? Because it ain't about you. You got people coming behind you. But see, in our own nature, we real selfish. Because it's all about me. It's all about the me man. How I feel. It's all about the me lady. What about me? Well, what about you? What about what Jesus did for you? What about Christ did to set us all free? That's what we have to think about. And that's why we have to ask that's why I'm asking that question today. Are you dead? Are you dead? Think about that. Am I dead to this world? Am I dead to my own self? Am I dead that Jesus Christ can live through me? We hear all these stories about people dying, You know, and I've been convicted myself about all these people dying and all these things, and I got my own business and all that, but it still doesn't matter. It still doesn't matter. Every person you see is a potential soul to be saved. Everybody. Everybody. But see, we got all these prejudices in us. We got all this other stuff going on in us because we live in a world that made us judge people according to the standards. But we're believers. We ain't to judge nobody. That's God's job. That's his job. Jesus said, judge not and ye shall not be judged. Our job is just to release the word of God into people's lives, whether they accept it or whether they don't. And that's another thing to see if you're dead. Because see, when you go out there and you're witness to somebody and they don't receive you, they ain't rejecting you. They're rejecting him. They ain't rejecting you. But see, because we ain't dead yet, we don't like the looks that they give us. We don't like the attitude. We don't like all that other stuff, the repercussions that come from being a witness for Christ. But we got to kill ourselves in that area because we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? We want to hear God say, well done. I know you was afraid, but you still stepped up to the plate. Well done. I know that area was dark, but you put some light in there. Well done. You were shaking in your boots, but you opened up your mouth. Well done. That I can trust you with stuff. Well done. That I can see your heart. But it's only when we die to ourselves. It's only when we die to the things like Paul said. He was telling the church that we have to die. That you have to die to the things that is in your life so that others may live. Sometimes it's all about us, like I said. Or sometimes we can't see that God wants to use us in that area, on your job, in your neighborhood. Why me? Why not you? What's wrong with you? Huh? You got the same thing everybody else got. The Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that lives in you. So why not you? You got resurrection power. Amen? He said he said in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone be in Christ, that you is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. How many new things that you got in your life? How many new things do you got going on in your life? Because we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. It doesn't matter what it is. It's all gone. But he also said that God was in Christ reconciling man back to himself, and he gave us the spirit of reconciliation. Amen? You can reconcile things in your life. You can reconcile things with your family. You can reconcile things on your job. You can reconcile things in your neighborhood. But you have to die to the way that you feel. And a lot of it sometimes is bitterness. Sometimes it's unforgiveness. And a whole bunch of stuff that we got going on inside of us that won't allow us to die enough to extend our hand. See, if you go through the world looking for justice, guess what? You ain't going to find it. But one thing, we are always supposed to extend justice, no matter how people treat us. See, that's the thing. See, when you can die to yourself and people could treat you any type of way and you can still smile and walk away without resentment and not getting around the corner mumbling under your breath, you know what I'm talking about. You smile and you're getting around the corner and you kicking the dog and everybody else. But when you can get to that point, when people can say anything to you, and you don't react to it. 97% of your Christian walk is going to be how you respond. Because you can't stop the world from being the world. You can't stop people from being people. But you can stop yourself to responding ungodly. And that's your job. That's your job. You can do it. You can do it. It's going to take work, but you can do it. But that's what it's all about. Because it's all about the blood. You need to be washed. If you need to be washed, say, listen, I need a shower, Lord. Wash me up. It's not to say that we're going to be perfect, that we're going to dot every I and we're going to cross every T. But let's shoot for perfection in Christ. Jesus said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect in heaven. That's what we do. That's our marker. That's who we're looking for. We don't set the world standards. Amen? But we have to be like that. But look at verse 21. It says, therefore, do not treat God's gracious gift as something as a minor importance and defeat its very purpose. We can frustrate the grace of God. Why? Because we don't do what we're supposed to do. And a lot of times, we're frustrated because we ain't doing what we're supposed to do. That's why we're frustrated. He's saying don't frustrate the grace. So because we frustrated, then God got to frustrate us. That's the way it works. The kingdom of God is a system of exchange. We exchange our live self for the dead self, and things work out. But he says to the church, okay, do not treat the grace of God as something that is minor, all right, to defeat its purpose. Do not set aside or invalidate or frustrate or nullify the grace of God, that unmerited favor. For if justification, righteousness, acquittal from guilt comes from observing the right of the law, then Christ, the Messiah, died groundlessly to no purpose, and it was in vain, that his death was wholly superficial. All right? That we can act in such a way that we make Christ's life superficial. Why? Because when we react in certain ways that are ungodly, when we act alive in our own self and don't act like the dead self that Paul is talking about, that we frustrate God's grace. What we're doing, we're telling the world that God don't have enough power to change us. God don't have enough power to keep us no matter what you do. Remember the children of Israel when they were murmuring and complaining and God was going to kill them off? He said, I'm going to kill all of them. God just got so tired. He said, that's it, Moses. I'm just going to wipe out the whole crew. They ain't going in. God said, I'm just going to kill all the people. But see, thank God for the middleman. Moses had sense. He said, listen, God, hold it. I know you're mad at these people because I'm mad at them. Could you imagine being a pastor of 2 million people? All them people that came out of there? All them different attitudes and ideas? Thank you, Jesus, that ain't me. But anyway, that Moses was a man of wisdom, and he said to God, he said, God, listen. He said, don't kill them off. He said, because your enemies are going to say that God brought them out of Egypt, but he didn't have enough power to keep them and take them into the land of promise. See, you're headed for the promise. God already promised it to you. Some of you could see the promise. But the thing of it is, the enemy keeps throwing stuff in your way. He keeps throwing this. He keeps throwing that. There comes a turn here. Here comes a storm that wasn't on the forecast of my life. Or I had my little plan all laid out, and things ain't going according to plan. But guess what? You can have the best plans in the world, and things ain't going to go according to plan. But what do you do in them times? That's when we got to learn to die. We have to learn to trust God with everything that's in my life. God, I don't understand it, but you promise and I'm going to trust you. God, I understand why I got to go through this, but guess what? I'm going to hold on with everything that I got until I get to the other side. Because the promise is coming in your life, church, but we have to learn to hold on to it. Well, listen, look at in chapter 3, one thing I just want to say, because a lot of times you think that Vaughn and Steve is getting on you. Listen to what God said. Listen to what Paul said to the church in chapter 3, verse 1. He said, you poor, foolish, silly, thoughtless, unreflected, and senseless Galatians. How you like him to talk? You like that. All them adjectives, he called them. He called them poor. He called them silly, thoughtless. But the one that got me was unreflecting. How many times are we unreflecting about what Jesus Christ has really did for us? How many times we don't reflect about the love that God poured out for us? God only had one son. He didn't have 10. He only had one. But it was out of love that if you was the only person on this earth, guess what? Jesus still would have came. Jesus still would have came because that's how important you are to God. And that's what we need to reflect on each and every day of your life. That's the way you die. I can't act like this. After everything that God has done for me, how can I do this? How can I step out of bounds? No matter what it is, no matter how good he looks, or no matter how good she looks, how can I step out of bounds? After everything that he has done for me, still gracious to me in my life, still taking care of me, still loving me, still providing for me, still taking care of my family, still helping me when I forget, still helping me in spite of myself. How can I do? Why? Because we don't reflect. We don't reflect back on that day of Calvary, the price that was paid for us. Because he said, listen, you were not, Peter said, you were bought with a price, not with goats and bulls, but the precious blood. It's a precious thing that we got. Precious salvation. Because a lot of times, you know what we do? I hear people saying all the time, what is your greatest gift? You know what the greatest gift you have? Salvation. That's the greatest gift that you have, and sometimes we just take it and throw it to the side because we want all the other gifts. And there's nothing wrong with having all the other gifts, but don't forget about salvation. That's the greatest gift, because out of that gift, all the other ones operate. Because without salvation, you can't operate in any gifts. And that's what happened with them. And Paul was saying, oh, you foolish Galatians, who's turning you around? So if they was trying to turn that church around, you could believe that there's people going to try to turn you around. But the thing of it is am I going to be dead enough to take a stand? When they start talking about my church, am I going to be dead enough to take a stand? Am I going to take a stand for what I believe in? Only you know where God has brought you to. Throughout everything that has went. And I always tell people, I'm not the sin police. I ain't going to get in nobody's life. But only you know what God has brought you through. Only you know what you had to overcome to get to the point where you are right now. So don't let the old man or the old woman rise back up again. Kill it. Kill it. Soon as you get one thought, kill it off. Because that's not who I am. I'm a born-again believer. I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Paul used to encourage himself and talk to himself. That's what you got to do. When you can't find nobody else, encourage your own self. You know who you are. And that's what we got to do. We got to take a stand. We got to die tonight, church. That's what it's all about. It's about dying to yourself. Men, pride. If anything's going to hold us men back, it's pride. That's why we don't like to come up front. That's why we don't like to lift up holding hands. Why? Because then I'm going to be a punk. Listen, I done heard it all, okay? But listen, God don't care about none of that. Because I tell guys when I do men's conferences and stuff like that, you're all gangsters, ladies' men, and all that other stuff in the street. But when you come to church, you turn into cowards. And we first. We the head and not the tail. What's the problem, fellas? Why? Because you're still too much alive. What are they going to say about me? What are they going to think about me? What if my friends hear that I'm shouting in the church? What if they hear that I'm lifting up my hands? What if they hear about I'm giving testimonies? What if they hear if I'm praising? See, the only reason why you got a problem with that is because you ain't dead. Because you're alive and here, but out there all types of other stuff is going on. See, if you're going to be dead, you might as well be dead. Because the Bible says in Numbers that your sin will find you out. It's going to find you out. See, you can fake me out. You can fake everybody else out. But you can't fake him out. Amen? But we have to learn to die. Die. Why? Especially the men. We have to learn to die. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go all them dreams. Let go of all them aspirations. And just die to Christ. Why? Because he wants to use you. He wants to use you as mighty men of God. Because there's some sisters laying in the balance waiting. You do know that, right? But as long as you don't get straight, then you can't, she can't be presented to you because you're still jacked up. Now, if you jacked up and she jacked up, now you got two jacked up people. All right? But you got to learn to die. You have to learn to die to yourself. You know, if I can encourage anybody tonight, you got to learn to die. And you're going to see stuff. My nickname was Stinky, okay? Stinky. Stinky, yes, like stink. Yeah. And everything about my life stunk, okay? But I say this to say, because like Paul, okay, his name was Saul. When God gives you a name change, the God of Jacob is still the God of Israel. You do know that, right? So when I couldn't use that name no more, and I was preaching, now you can't kick him, here comes the stinky preacher, he gonna preach for you, all right? But what happened was, see, Stinky could hide behind the drugs. I could hide behind the alcohol. I could hide behind all the reputation. I could hide behind all that other stuff. But Donald couldn't do that. See, Donald was insecure. Donald had a bunch of fear in his life. Donald had a whole bunch of other things going on in his life. But that's just like God, to get you to a point where you can't hide no more. And I had to die. If I was going to do what I'm doing now, I had to die. Because I wasn't going backwards. There's two places I know I'm going, not going. I ain't going back to jail, and I ain't going to hell. I know that. That's two. But I had to die with all my insecurities, with all my fears, with all the other stuff that I had going in my life. I had to die. I had to come to a point where I had to trust the cross of Jesus Christ and everything that he said it was and everything that he would say he was doing. Sometimes shaking in my boots. But I said, God, I'm going to trust you. Because I made a decision in my life that I was not going to go backwards. Because it was too painful. Because of the lives that I had broken, the lives I have hurt. But then I realized how broken I was because of my own self. And, you know, if you don't die, sometimes we hurt ourselves more than we could hurt other people. Why? Because we deceive ourselves. We disillusion ourselves that I'm okay when we're really messed up. We disillusion ourselves that it's going to be a better tomorrow in a yesterday that's already dead. Oh, yeah, we disillusion ourselves in a better tomorrow in a yesterday that is already dead and buried. Listen, when God's through with it, it's over with. And I don't care how much you try to dig it up. I don't care how much you try to make that thing live again. Guess what? It ain't going to live. It ain't going to be no more flames. It ain't even going to be no more flickers. But I had to come to that point, like he said, that I had to crucify this life in order to live the life that God has for me. And it's no different for you than it is for me. I don't know what you're battling with today. I don't know what it can be. I don't even know what it is, but I do know one thing, that if you are willing from the bottom of your heart to say, Lord, this thing has been killing me long enough. This has been killing me long enough. God, I've been carrying this burden too long because some people have been carrying things for years, carrying stuff for years. And you know what it is? I got this devotion when I was reading one day about this guy. He had a heavy bag on his back. And the guy pulled up next to him and he said, hey, listen, because this is what God is doing. He's saying, hey, let me give you a ride, all right? And you get in the car. It said he got in the wagon. But he wouldn't take the burden. He wouldn't take the bag and put it down. And he said, the guy said to him, hey, mister, why don't you take the bag and set it down on the floor there. And he said to him, nah, you're kind enough to give me a ride. I can't have you take this burden too. But guess what? Jesus Christ is our sin burden barrier. God wants that burden. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, no matter how long you've been carrying it, no matter what it looks like, no matter how much shame is attached to it, no matter how much guilt is attached to it, he wants it, and he wants it tonight, because that's what this is all about. Are you dead yet? And if you ain't dead, tonight's the night to die. Tonight's the night to die to all of that stuff, to all of that pain, to all that hurt, all that unforgiveness. I don't care what it is. God is big enough to handle it all, but we have to be willing to turn it over to him. We have to be willing to turn it over to him. That's what it's all about. It's about dying. Psalms 139 says, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts and my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. See, we like to pray all them other prayers about God, give me this, God, give me that. We need to pray prayers that turn it inside. David said, create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit that's within me. Tonight is a night of crucifixion. Tonight's the night of dying for somebody. Tonight's the night of just giving it all up for God that you may live, so that you might be the one that says, it is no longer I that live. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in him who loved me. First of all, Remember one thing about God. He loved you, and he still loves you. He loved me and gave himself up for me. That was Paul's testimony of his life after that. Because of the love that happened, and before he gave up his life for me, that's why I do what I do. That's why I talk the way I talk. That's why I act the way I act. Because of the love that he had for me. And that he was willing to give up everything for me. And that's what God's here tonight to do. To give it all up. To give it all up. First, if there's somebody here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if this is your first time here, or there's somebody here, and you don't know Jesus, listen. Give your heart to Jesus. You don't have to understand everything. Thing of it is sometimes, and maybe that's our fault as being the church, you don't have to understand everything. The only thing you have to understand is this, that without Christ, I'm destined for hell. That's number one. But there is nothing that you have done, no hole that you have fell in, that God could not lift you up out of. His arms could reach down further than you think he can and to bring you up out of that place. So if there's somebody here tonight and you have never in your life, if you understand about this message about the cross, it was a message of love that Jesus died for me, he was buried, and he rose again just for me. Just for me. Come. I'm going to ask you to come. Step out. Step out in faith, because Paul said, the life I now live, it's faith. It's a faith walk. You just got to step out, believe it, that my life is going to be transformed. You no longer have to stay in the place that you've been. This is it. Today is the day of freedom for somebody. So if there's somebody here today, if you never gave your life to Christ, or if you've been in church all these years because mama was taking you to church, and you never really shared the cross of Christ. Because Paul said, I shared in him, I shared the crucifixion. I shared the pain. I shared the, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've shared all that. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to come. You could be the first one to come. You could be the first one to come. And next is those who know that you got to die tonight. You know that there's an area in your life that you know, I got to kill this thing tonight. If I'm going to walk in the resurrected power of Jesus Christ, I got to kill this thing tonight. I've been carrying this thing around too long. And every night it attacks me, every day it attacks me. Maybe it goes away for a week, but guess what? It comes back. But God wants to kill that thing off for you tonight. He wants to kill it. He wants to kill it off. Come. Come on. You first. Come on. Come on. Listen, this ain't the time to be prideful. This ain't the time to be saying what they're going to say about me or what they think about me. It's not about what people think about you. It's about what God thinks about you. It's about what God thinks about you. And it's time to die to this. So that, like I said, the whole purpose of this is understand that from this day forward, that your testimony is going to be that a life I now live, each and every day of my life, I live for him who loved me and gave his life for me. I'm not going to live any other type of way. I'm not going to live towards the world standards. I'm not going to live towards family standards. I'm going to live towards the standards of that word. Because God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Listen. Look at me. All right? You've been fighting and fighting for a long time. You were the ones that God, you was the first one that God showed me. Even before I did this message, when I was doing it. You was the first one that God showed me. God said, you tell her to look past you and look at the cross of my son. And look about how much love that I have for her. Because I'm tired of seeing her crying. I'm tired of seeing her dead. You tell her today that it's all over. Never again. Never again, Kristen. You hear me? Never again. God says it's over. Lift your hands. Your freedom's coming right now, Father.